This week, a goodly number of Holy Trinity parishioners has been praying together in a virtual retreat in daily life. The title of the retreat, God, Our Refuge and Our Strength, reflects our desire to find some peace and understanding about where God is in these troubled times in which we confront the twin pandemics of COVID and racism. Prayer is always a good place to reflect on how God is present, or even how God seems to be absent in the midst of turmoil. As with many retreats, some folks simply want to learn to pray better or to develop a more organized prayer routine. They find the structure that a retreat offers, suggestions for prayer, guidance about how to pray, as well as daily check-ins with a spiritual guide, to be helpful. Frequently enough, as we come to the end, a retreatant might share some plan of action for praying after the retreat. That's encouraging. It indicates their longing to continue to grow in friendship with God. Developing a plan for how, when, and where they will pray shows that their desire to maintain a relationship with God is more than mere whimsy. It's a carefully considered choice, and so I heartily encourage them. At the same time, however, I caution them to remember that any relationship, including a relationship with God, is a two-way street. One person should not try to control the relationship unilaterally. If I want a deeper friendship with you, for instance, I might invite you to lunch or ask you to take a walk with me. That's simply creating the conditions for a relaxed conversation. It's allowing the possibility for our friendship to take off. But it's another thing entirely if I try to make all the decisions and tell you ahead of time how I want our friendship to progress. It would be arrogant of me to inform you that we'll meet for lunch every other week, we'll take a long walk on Sunday mornings, and we'll talk on the phone on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That kind of one-sided imposition simply does not foster a meaningful relationship. Of course, most times, our effort to control a relationship with God is not as blatant as that. Rather, it reflects a more unconscious attitude. It's not uncommon, for instance, for a person to begin to make some subtle demands. Okay, God, I'm sitting here on my prayer bench. I've lighted my candle. I've read the Bible passage slowly. I've been waiting now for 10 minutes. Where are you? Why isn't anything happening? Unwittingly, this person has shifted from telling God what she'd like from their relationship to what she expects from it. Her prayer has become transactional. I've done all this for you, God. Now I expect you to do your part in return. Interestingly, other than teaching the Lord's Prayer, Jesus does not offer his disciples much explicit guidance on how to pray. Nevertheless, if we examine his parables, we'll find some indications about how to cultivate a relationship with God. Have you ever noticed how many parables deal with agricultural themes? There's the one about the tiny mustard seed that blossoms into a gargantuan bush, and another about the weeds that shoot up and threaten to choke the wheat. Then there's the one about the seed that falls on rocky ground and the seed that falls on fertile ground, and a few more just like them. I find this profusion of agricultural themes somewhat puzzling. After all, Jesus was not a farmer, he was a carpenter. And yet, he offers not one single parable about woodworking. Why do you suppose that is? I wonder if it has something to do with control. You see, farming, at least in Jesus' day, did not require a lot of advanced planning or effort. As we read in the parable of the sower, the farmer simply scatters the seed helter-skelter. A good part of it sprouts up, but not all. In another parable, the one about the seed that grows by itself, the farmer simply plants the seed and then trundles off to bed, and miraculously, the seed springs up on its own. By contrast, a carpentry project requires considerable forethought and effort. A carpenter has to draw up plans for his project, measure the materials, cut them precisely, and then fit the pieces together just so. I think many of us look on our prayer relationship with God like a carpentry project. From time to time, we take stock of our spiritual life and we find something amiss, or maybe we're just looking for a little more. So we draw up plans for a change. I'll find a little more time for prayer. I'll get up an hour earlier. I'll find a good spiritual book. And then we expect God to reward our efforts by showering our prayer with abundant consolation and plenteous insight. We delude ourselves into thinking that devising a plan and exerting enough effort will lead automatically to a deeper friendship with God. But as the farming parables reveal, Jesus says, that's not how friendship works. This is not something you can control on your own. Friendship with God and Jesus begins like any other friendship. It begins with me telling God that I want our friendship to grow. It's that simple. St. Thomas Aquinas says that we should express that desire with great confidence because however much we want that friendship, God wants it ever so much more. If God wants it and I want it, it's bound to happen. In the spiritual exercises, St. Ignatius writes that real friendship consists in the mutual exchange of gifts between two friends. And let's face it, the only gift that you and I have that God wants is the gift of our heart, that we share with God what's going on in our heart. What gives me joy? What saddens me? What causes me anxiety? What incipient desires do I have to make a difference in the world? If we do these two things consistently, open ourselves to deeper friendship with God, and share the contents of our heart, then like the parable of the seed that sprouts on its own, so too will our friendship grow without so much effort on our part. May God bless you and give you health.